I'd like to welcome everybody this evening to the live stream of Grace Life Bible Church. My name's Pastor Brian Ross. I'm pastor at Grace Life Bible Church, and we're coming to you live on Wednesday night for our midweek message. If you hear what sounds like a dog barking, we just recently got a puppy, and we're working on training the puppy, and the puppy is currently in his crate, because he has not been behaving. And so if you hear some squealing or what have you, that's why. So I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast this evening. If you would open your Bible to Philippians chapter 2, open to Philippians chapter 2. And I did a short, about a half hour study on the issue of murmuring. And we were looking at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, where it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And so we defined murmuring. We went back into the Old Testament, and we looked at the situation with the nation of Israel as they were coming in the Exodus, as they were coming out of Egypt, and as they were journeying across the wilderness, and the murmuring that they did there at Kadesh Barnea that prevented them from entering into the land. And we discussed week. As I thought about that, I realized that I didn't say anything about the end of this verse. Look at verse 14. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. So what I just want to talk for a little bit about this evening is that issue of disputings there at the end of verse 14. So one of the things I've noticed is that some of these verses are like hard verses for us to deal with, because they're very simple, they're very straightforward, they're very clear in what they're teaching as far as the doctrine or the information that they're conveying, and we are conditioned by our society, by our culture, by our political system, maybe even by our history, to, you know, feel like we should just be, you know, sort of crying foul every time something goes wrong or something happens that we don't like. And I understand all of that, okay? But I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about what does the verse say, okay? The verse says, do all things. So how many things would that include? That would include everything, right? That would include all things. There's no, like, out clauses here. There's no yeah buts. There's no exceptions, but you don't know what's happening over there or over here or what have you. It's a straightforward instruction from the pen of our apostle, the Apostle Paul. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And so we talked last week about the issue of murmuring. What I want to just focus this evening on is the issue of disputings. Disputings, that's a noun, okay, if you're talking about the part of speech. And if you look this up, and I know some of you are going to be mad that I even mentioned Greek, but if you look this word up in the Greek, you get a little bit of an interesting thing that I want to talk a little bit about. According to Strong's Concordance, it means discussion. And it could be the internal discussion and consideration that you have with yourself in your own head, right? So I hear an idea, I hear somebody say something, and I think to myself, gee, I'm not sure. Is that true? Is that right? Does that align with God's word? And you sort of have that internal issue of disputing, right? Of thinking it through, of considering it, pondering it, and so on, right? But then there's the external issue, the external side of this, which is the idea of debate, the idea of dispute, doubting, imagining things that aren't there, reasoning or thought, right? So there's internal consideration, discussion idea, but then there's also that external idea behind this word, which is the idea of that outward debate, that doubting, that reasoning things, where your thoughts are coming into contention, you're disputing with somebody else. And when Paul says this here in the verse, he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. He's not telling you don't think it through. He's not telling you don't get God's word out and reason it through from the scriptures. I mean, God says in his word, come let us reason together, right? So he's not talking here about that internal thing of you and I thinking things through, pondering on things, meditating on things, that sort of thing. He's talking about that external behavior, that debate, that disputing, that imagining, that reasoning out, where you're really sort of going at it with somebody. And when you think about the way that, if you look up the word disputing, so I've got two dictionaries open here on my computer. The first one I have open is the Oxford English Dictionary, which is the definitive record of the English language. And it says, for the definition of disputing, it says the action of dispute. Well, that's real helpful, right? In various senses, disputation, debate, controversy. And that's really what he's getting at, right? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. There's a lot of controversy going on right now in our world, a lot of disputing, a lot of things that are really causing people to not only murmur, but also to dispute, to really, you know, to dig in their heels and enter into that controversy, enter into that debate. Come with me back to Romans chapter 1 quick. I want to show you something about Romans chapter 1. You know, I personally don't think it's wise. There's been a few times in my ministry where somebody has said, well, I want to debate you on that, or what have you. And I'm not interested really in that. Not because I'm afraid intellectually or anything like that, but because of what the scripture says about it. Look with me at Romans chapter 1. So Paul here, he's talking about the reprobate mind that the Gentiles have been given over to in this context. And notice what he says in verse 29. He says, Romans 1 verse 29. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. So that debate, that need to just dig in and you know, and debate and have controversy and disputation and disputings, go back to Philippians chapter 2, that's really the flesh, I feel. That's really the flesh's desire to want to be right, to set somebody straight, to put somebody in their place, you know, whatever it is. And Paul's saying, do all things without murmuring, without grumbling under your breath, in that low, non-discernible, guttural tones like we were talking about in last week's study. But then he also adds here the issue of disputing. Now, if you go to the Webster's, Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, let me just say something quick about that, okay? A lot of people are confused about this. Noah Webster, his dictionary is titled the American Dictionary of the English Language. And what he's doing really is showing you what words mean in English as it was spoken and written in America. That's why it's called the American Dictionary of the English Language, whereas the Oxford English Dictionary is just giving you like the whole history of word usage and origin and spelling and all that sort of thing throughout the entire history and usage of English across the board. So there is a difference on that, but I digress. If you look up disputing in Webster, he says the act of contending by words or arguments, controversy, altercation. Again, there's a lot of that going on right now. There's a lot of that going on right now amongst believers. A lot of differences of opinion, a lot of disputing, a lot of contending by words or arguments, a lot of controversy happening, a lot of verbal altercations going back and forth amongst people as they try to make sense and deal with things that are happening out there in the world right now. And if you think about this, he says that we're to do all things without murmurings and disputings. And it's interesting when you, if you just look a little bit, just do a little bit of study about this. Come with me over to Mark 15. Come with me over to Mark chapter 15. Just want to look at a couple things with you. Mark chapter 15. And what I've realized about myself, and it's taken me a long time to get to this point, is that, you know, most of the stuff that I would contend with people about, I was wasting my time, because either they weren't listening, it wasn't going to matter what I was going to say, you know, their opinion, they were already entrenched in their position on the subject matter, whatever it might be. And so, you know, it's just really become the realization to me of, you know, share what you think, move on, and if they want to know more about it, if they want to, you know, contact you, if they want to get into a, you know, productive discussion, not a dispute, but a discussion, there is a very big difference between those two things, then by all means, I mean, that's what we should be doing. Mark chapter 15, look at verse 19. I'm sorry, I need you to go to Matthew. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. So we just want to look at a couple other places where this word that is translated disputings shows up, because it's interesting to look at a few of these occurrences just to get an understanding here. Look with me at Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse 19. It says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Now you see there in verse 19 where it says, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts." That phrase there, evil thoughts, that word translated thoughts, is the same word translated disputings. So what Christ is saying here is that evil thought, now it's your thoughts, that internal thing, not that that internal thing is wrong, but it leads to then outward contention sometimes, right? And he says there in the verse, he says, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." My point there is to connect the idea in your mind between disputing and thoughts. Disputings are tied to our thoughts and what we're thinking about when we're engaging in something. Come with me to Luke chapter 9. And I'm just showing you what the King James translators did here, okay? I'm not correcting anything. I'm not saying anything's wrong. I'm just trying to show you a few things to help give you some understanding here about disputes. Because I don't believe there's anything wrong with the King James Bible. I think the King James Bible communicates all the information that God intended you to have in your language, and that you can read it and understand it and don't have to change a thing about it. But look at verse 46, Luke chapter 9, verse 46. And notice what it says. "And there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest." So this is the context of this, is where the apostles are going to get into this dispute, right, about they get into this the test of discipleship and all this sort of thing, and they start sort of reasoning amongst themselves and disputing about which one of them is going to be the greatest. And then they sort of work, they hash this thing out, right? The word reasoning here is the same word that's translated disputings. And then another one that I want you to see is the word imaginations. Come with me to Romans chapter 1. And by the way, everything I'm going over with you right now is very easily seen just by looking in the looking this up in the Blue Letter Bible. And I know that Brother Dave Reed, on his weekly broadcast, well, nightly broadcast really, has been showing people how to use that as a study tool. But look at Romans chapter 1. Look with me at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." In this verse, it's this word imaginations that's the same word that's translated disputings, right? So there's a connection between being carried away in your imagination and being, you know, disputeful, being so that's being contentious. Come with me over to Romans chapter 14. Come over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And look at verse 1. Look at Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 1. It says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye." So the weaker brother, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to receive him, right? "But not to doubtful disputations." See? Disputing about things that are doubtful, right? Not to doubtful disputations. There's nothing that's going to be gained from doing that. There's nothing going to be gained from getting into that sort of thing, right? Come with me over to 1 Timothy. And come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we want verses 4 and 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Well, in verse 3 he says, "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof covet envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings." Now look at the next verse, verse 5. "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." If you come back to Philippians and you think about what Paul's saying in Philippians, come back to Philippians chapter 2. What's he saying here? Philippians chapter 2. Let's go back and get verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure." do all things without. So as we set about to do all things, we're supposed to be devoid or without two things. What two things are we supposed to do all things without, or the absence of? Murmurings, complainings, and second, disputings. So it seems to me that I either believe that or I don't. It seems to me that you either believe that or you don't. It seems to me that that's not easy, right? I mean, the flesh wants to fight. The flesh wants to contend. The flesh wants to debate. The flesh wants to dispute. But that's not what the instruction is here. The instruction is what it is, and it says what it says. And it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, right? Now, why? Why? I said this at the end of our study, or our time together last Wednesday night, that if the first word in verse 15 is the word that, the purpose and the intent, right? So why is the instruction given in verse 14 to do all things without murmurings and disputings? That ye may be blameless and harmless. Now, I've thought about this and considered it and pondered it and studied it, right? I think that the word blameless in verse 15 answers back to the word murmuring in verse 14, and the issue of being harmless answers back to the idea of disputings in the previous verse, right? When we murmur, we're not blameless. When we dispute and argue and debate and contend and do all that stuff, and you know, that hot sort of flesh way that we so often do, we're not behaving in a way that's harmless. He says that, verse 15, the purpose and the intent, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The world really needs to see Christians right now, believers right now, members of the body of Christ right now, behaving and doing all things without murmurings and disputings, so that our light shines in this world that we are living in, where this stuff is so prevalent and so everywhere. I mean, all you have to do is get on Facebook for 10 seconds right now and see that there's a ton of disputing, there is a ton of contention, there is a ton. And I know everybody, folks can easily rationalize all of that, because I've done it myself, and say, oh, well, you know, I'm doing the right thing here because of A, B, and C, or I'm really doing the right thing here because of, you know, I'm supporting this cause or that cause, or I'm, you know, I'm really just doing what I feel I need to do for the truth, maybe even, right? Or for the Word of God, maybe even for the Word of God rightly divided, etc. But when I come to God's Word, I just really have to think twice about that, it seems to me, because that's not what the instruction is here. The instruction is to do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. I'll just say it this way for me personally. For me personally, the thing that I care about is holding forth the word of life and teaching the truth of God's word. And when you teach the truth of God's word, you manifest light from darkness. God's word naturally manifests light from darkness. It shows what the right way to think about it is from the point of view of God, without me having to strive and contend and argue and debate and all of that stuff. When we just hold forth the word of life and we just stick with the book and we just teach the book and we just worry about following our Apostle Paul and the pattern that he set for us as far as how to live godly in Christ Jesus, right? And we just take his instructions to heart, and we by faith act upon them, and we endeavor to do all things without murmurings and disputings. I think in the long run, our impact for eternity is greater when we take God at his word and we just by faith try to do what God says. And I said to you last week, I mean, I can murmur with the best of them. Let me tell you, my wife and my kids, they would be the first ones to, you know, bear witness to that fact, right? But I just think that we really need to be meditating on these things, and we really need to be taking these things to heart. We are definitely living in a crooked and perverse nation, right? And the way we shine as lights in the world is by doing things God's way, the way that God says to do them in His Word. And so that's just my short admonition this evening. The last few weeks, I really haven't had it in me, if I could say it that way, to just start hammering any big doctrine or anything like that, because I just really feel that what the body of Christ needs right now is straightforward, simple reminders about what our apostle says to us about how we should think, function, and behave as members of the church, the body of Christ. And so I commend that to you. I hope that you can at least think on that, even if you decide you don't agree with me for whatever reason, that you can at least meditate on that, think on that, and look at God's Word. And if you're going to disagree, that you have a scriptural reason for it. But I think we need to take it to heart, this issue of doing all things without murmurings and disputings. So before I sign off for this week, just an announcement, sort of a surprise announcement for everybody at Grace Life Bible Church. And I'm just going to check quick a couple things, make sure that nobody had any questions or comments here. Let's just look and see what's going on at YouTube and Facebook. Doesn't look like there's too much going on there. So the thing I want to announce is the following. This coming Sunday, the 2nd of August, I believe it is, we're going to have a surprise guest speaker at church. Brother Dave Reed from Columbus Bible Church in Ohio, that him and his family are coming to our house this weekend for a visit, and Dave has agreed to teach the sermon. So we're going to have a guest speaker at church on Sunday. Brother Dave Reed is going to come, and he's going to be giving a message. I don't know what he's going to teach about. I said that it was up to him and that he could select the topic himself and bring whatever message he thought would be beneficial and edifying to us. So that's what's happening Sunday. So we'll have church. We'll all be there, and Dave Reed is going to be in town, and so he is going to be teaching for us this coming Sunday. So I hope all that is clear and edifying. I'm glad for those of you that have been able to tune in, and for those who might be watching this after the fact. Let's just have a quick word of prayer, and then I'll send us out with a little bit of music. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for your word this evening. We're grateful for this simple verse here in verse 14 about doing all things without murmurings and disputings. Lord, we pray that we would ponder that, meditate upon that, and take that to heart, that simple instruction, that simple admonition there. We're grateful for all that you've done for us through Christ. We're grateful for other like-minded men in ministries that are teaching and preaching the word of God rightly divided. We're grateful for all that you've done for us through Christ, through the gospel of grace of God. We pray for our church. We pray for our country. We pray for our leaders at all levels of government, our local leaders, our state leaders, our federal leaders. We pray for them that we might live a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and honesty. We're grateful for this time we could spend together this evening and for the impending visit with the Reed family, and we look forward to that on Sunday. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Leaders at all levels of government, our local leaders, our state leaders, our federal leaders. We pray for them that we.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me. Thank you.
Everybody, hope you have a good rest of your week.